very good wishes. Thank you for being so good at your job too, Steve. I mean, we appreciate those mail carriers, yeah. right? They're mm-hmm. out there in all sorts of weather and dealing with all sorts of stuff. And at Christmas, there's nobody better than my mail carrier when they bring the packages right to my door. I am always so appreciative because that means that they're doing the heavy lifting for me, and I super appreciate it. But yeah. Steve, you have a wonderful, wonderful day, and you have a wonderful day if you happen to be celebrating as well. Now, remember, if you want to add somebody to the list, boy, that was a big one this morning, all you have to do is text us on the Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells text line, 355-9970. Quick taking a look at your forecast. It's going to be much cooler today. Only 36 is a high, and then we're going to kind of go up and down. It's like a roller coaster over the next few days. 39 tomorrow, 50 by Sunday, and maybe 60 by Monday. Sean Cable's going to tell us more in just a moment. We'll also have a look at ABC and local news right here on 99.7 Max FM.
Joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance. Now I'm a superintendent running high-profile projects in Madison that change the city's skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today. Call 608-240-0314 and press 0 to apply. That's 608-240-0314 and press 0.
Imagine you're trying to escape from a secluded cabin or being trusted with government secrets, or you need to locate an important dignitary for a special event. This isn't a TV show. No, it's Elusive Escape Rooms. Can you count on your friends and family to help you make your great escape? Call 608-678-2388 or find us online at elusiveescaperooms.com. And mention promo code MAXFM to save on your next adventure. Located across from Noah's Ark on Wisconsin Dells Parkway in Wisconsin Dells, Elusive Escape Rooms, the best escape you'll ever attempt to make.
Okay, guys, I've devised a plan to find better home internet. Kids, you scout the web for the best deals. Honey, you monitor our projected data usage.
Or we could avoid that hassle and go with U.S. Cellular's home internet. There's no guesswork, and their internet's faster than ever.
New plan. Ellen, you sign up for U.S. Cellular home internet. Madison, you bring me snacks while I stream the game. Let's do this.
Bundle and save on U.S. Cellular's new and improved home internet. Just $29.99 when bundled with a wireless plan. U.S. Cellular, built for us.
Terms apply. Visit cellplus.com for details.
Seasons Counseling, therapy for adults and children in Baraboo and the surrounding communities, supports Baraboo FFA students during National FFA Week as students learn about the importance of agriculture education. Seasons Counseling, let us help you reach new heights.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Biden administration promising tough new sanctions on Russia today. And while Under Secretary of State Victoria Nuland says Vladimir Putin has gotten good at evading sanctions.
When you see this package that we're going to launch, it is very heavily focused on evasion, on nodes and networks and countries that help evade.
The sanctions coming a week after the death of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny and a day before the two-year anniversary of the war with Ukraine. Former President Trump's lawyers getting in new motions to try and get the case over his handling of classified documents dismissed. A new proposal in the Alabama state legislature.
What we're trying to do with this particular law is put the Supreme Court decision, the ruling, on pause.
Democratic state lawmaker Anthony Daniels, after the Alabama Supreme Court ruling calling frozen embryos babies, that has prompted several medical providers in the state to hit pause on IVF treatments. This is ABC News.
From the SSM Health News Center, this is Max News with Jim Finn.
Almost four dozen employees at ABS Global are being laid off after the company announced it would be closing its Poinette laboratory. On Monday, in a notice to the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, the company explained that 44 positions are affected. ABS Decora in Poinette will remain open, but the IntelliGen laboratory closure results in 36 layoffs. 8 IntelliGen staff positions were also being cut at other Wisconsin facilities. This includes 1 position at the ABS DeForest office and 7 positions that are either remote or hybrid. The company stated that the employees will be terminated on April 19th. For Max FM News, I'm Jim Finn.
Max FM, Jim City Weather. Mostly cloudy and quite a bit cooler today with a few off and on flurries or even a few snow showers possible. Our high 36 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 13, tomorrow sunny 39, then we bounce right back Sunday, sunshine 50. We'll get to 60 by Monday. If you need help with back taxes, call Tax Solutions now. They can help. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30. 99.7.
It's 8:05 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We always appreciate it. We hope your morning is going well. Of course, you know, it's Friday. What more could you ask for? The only thing we need right now is maybe an adult beverage and for it to be quitting time so we can just get on with the weekend. Now, we mentioned Howard Jones celebrating his 69th birthday this weekend. From the 1980s, no one is to blame on 99.7 Max FM.
Max FM.
Oh,
Take me home tonight. There is Eddie Money, maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. It is 13 minutes after 8 now. And Finn, you know, the Tooth Fairy is somebody who has some pretty good job security, but that doesn't mean there isn't a risk of pay cuts either. Maybe she needs some sense pumped into her office like we're starting to do in this country. Yeah. For the first time in 5 years, the value of a single lost tooth has actually declined. Delta Dental's 26th annual Tooth Fairy poll just came out, and they found that the national average is now just $5.84 per tooth. I got like a nickel or something, so this is kind of insane.
How do these kids rank?
I don't understand this. Apparently, inflation hits the Tooth Fairy as well. Now, that is down 39 cents from $6.23 last year, which was an actual all-time high. Current prices are still up nearly $2 from 4 years ago pre-pandemic. Kids in the West get the biggest payouts at $8.54 per tooth. Are you kidding me? Who needs like grandma's birthday money when you can just keep losing your teeth? Kids in the Northeast are next at $6.87, and then in the South it's $5.51. Here in the Midwest, we're a lot lower than the rest of the country, just $3.63 per tooth, which is still pretty good. Right, exactly. But even with this 1 year decline, the overall trend is still very strong for the Tooth Fairy in the payouts. Over the past 26 years, the average Tooth Fairy payout has surged 349% from $1.30 to $5.84 per tooth. And at that rate, by 2050, the Tooth Fairy will be leaving a whopping $30 under the pillow for a single tooth. Are you kidding me? That becomes a full-time job in itself, just losing your teeth, insane. Does it not?
Yeah.
Holy buckets. That's a far cry from anything I got.
Ha 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 ha! I just don't understand. I mean, wow.
The Tooth Fairy was not that kind to my children either. I can honestly say they did not get $3 per tooth when they were losing teeth. Sometimes the Tooth Fairy forgot to come, though. That was always kind of an issue.
That's always awkward.
It was awkward, but she always came the next night. We just had to make sure that, you know, we set reminders for the Tooth Fairy. Parents have that distinct connection, you know, of working one-on-one with her, so it makes our job sometimes a little easier and a little harder. But we didn't live right in, we lived in the suburbs a little bit, even in Sioux Falls when we were in South Dakota, when we were in the prime of losing teeth. So sometimes, you know, I think she got confused because you had to go past the cornfield into the cul-de-sac and not, you know, just into the cul-de-sac. So
sure.
that's pretty much why we think that she sometimes forgot.
That checks out.
At least that's the story we're sticking with at this point. You know what I'm talking about, Mom and Dad.
$30 a tooth.
I know. Oh. Can you imagine? Your parents are going to need to take out loans to help out the Tooth Fairy just to make sure that she can get money under those pillows. My goodness. Everybody's going to be working together to make sure that there's a payout for the teeth. Holy bucket.
Crazy.
Kind of makes me think that I'll be old by then, so maybe I should just start losing teeth to put under my pillow for the Tooth Fairy
It'll
as well.
It'll help us out, you know? I mean, come on.
Right? Holy buckets. Oh, my goodness. $30 a tooth. That's insane. $3 a tooth is a little insane, I think, as well. And we're low here in the Midwest compared to the almost $10 that they're seeing out on the West Coast. Holy bucket.
Those are quite the teeth, I guess, that they're losing out there.
They must
there.
Have some That's... great dental care out there. Yeah. They are the coveted teeth that the Tooth Fairy really, really wants.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's good, though, that parents can work one-on-one with, you know, the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus to make all of these things happen. Because I know for kids, it's the magic of the holidays, but sometimes the parents got to be a little involved to help out. I mean, these are busy individuals, right? They're trying to see millions of children each and every day. Or at least Santa and the Easter Bunny in one day. Tooth Fairy has to work every day, which tells me she should probably be getting a raise herself if she's doing this every single day, and Santa and the Easter Bunny have to like peace out after one day. She's doing this every single day for millions of kids around the world. So
now those Easter egg hunts for the Easter Bunny, they can get a pretty pricey too.
They can get a little pricey. Yes. Yes, they can. See, now in our house, when our kids were little, the Easter Bunny would usually just bring the basket of eggs, and then it was up to Corey and myself to hide said eggs. Now, here's the thing, though. The Easter Bunny always filled them and brought some other treasures along with the eggs, but I think the Easter Bunny liked to see my children in pain, because when their dad hid the eggs, it was really, really difficult. Really, really difficult. He was one of those people who went out of his way to make sure that they were hidden really well. We had very smart kids, though, right? So you couldn't just lay them out wherever. You had to make sure that they were really hidden, and they had to work for them a little bit. Now, after the first year, though, we asked the Easter Bunny to bring everything in those plastic eggs, because there were a couple times Corey actually forgot where he hid the eggs. So you can imagine how wonderful that smell was after about a week or two. Not good. So then after that, the Easter Bunny got the memo that we needed to do the plastic eggs just in case. Melty chocolate is a whole lot better than rotting eggs in the sun. That's for sure.
Yeah.
We also had those times in South Dakota, especially when the boys were really little, that the Easter egg hunts had to come inside. And nobody wants rotting eggs underneath a couch cushion somewhere. Nobody wants that to happen. So, yes, we eventually had to transition to the plastic eggs with the help of the bunny. So,
have you ever been a part of one of those epic Easter egg hunts where there's 50 kids or whatever?
No, my kids were not into that kind of stuff, and I didn't like that kind of stuff when I was little either. You know, when my kids were little, obviously we've talked a lot about the Asperger's with Max and the anxiety and the OCD with Dexter, and that kind of parlayed into really large group activities. My kids always had a lot of friends, but they did small groups. They were much better in small groups where there was like two or three, maybe four at the most. That's always how they excelled. When you got them into a group with that many kids, their eyes just kind of glazed over. over, and you know, they just didn't. Overwhelming. They didn't handle those groups very well. I don't handle groups that big very well, so I didn't expect them to do it at, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old either. So no, we never did the big epic ones. Sometimes we would do, like at our house, before Easter, we would have a play date with all of their friends, and then we would hide eggs and let them have some fun outside. And depending on the weather, because again, South Dakota, it could have been 80 degrees or it could have been 80 below. It just really depended on, you know, what time of the year and what month and all of that kind of stuff. So if it was cold outside, then we would have an epic Easter egg hunt with their friends inside. If it was nice out, then we would take them outside and let them run around. We had about a quarter acre in our suburbs, in both houses, the one we lived in South Dakota and the suburb in the Twin Cities. We had about a quarter acre and both were fenced in. So we really got to let them just kind of run free and have some fun and things like that. But no, we never did the big citywide ones, because I know City of Baraboo does them. There's a ton of those around here, right? Like I know Portage does a huge city Easter egg hunt, Reedsburg as well. So I'm sure we'll start hearing details about those very, very soon. But we never participated in those. That seemed like chaos, quite honestly. Yeah, fun chaos, but chaos.
Yeah, but there's nothing like a million kids all hopped up on sugar, right? Going
all chasing
crazy
after the same eggs. Yes, yeah. Yes. To me, that just screams like bruises and knee scrapes and lots of tears. And that just doesn't seem like fun to me. But it always, like when I would watch them, I was always like, okay, that's super cute. But I just knew it was not a good environment for my kids. So we just always bowed out on
and
those.
And for
but
the adults, a little later on, it means a lot of adult beverages.
It does. Or before. I mean, before and after. During. I mean, yeah. I mean, during might be pushing it, depending on who's throwing the event. But before and after, for sure. For sure. You can you can definitely make yourself feel a whole lot better. But take care of the Easter Bunny. Make sure that the Tooth Fairy is, you know, getting her props as well, because she's working hard. Yeah, she's doing the hard work for us. Again, every single night. You know, I just got a message over on my Facebook page. Somebody says, yeah, leave it to a woman to do the work every single day.
Spot on.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I wasn't going to say it. I was thinking it, but I wasn't going to say it. So I'm glad somebody sent it in a text. That's awesome. We've got to take a look at the forecast here this morning. Sean Cable keeps telling me the clouds are going to roll in a little later on today, but we do have some sunshine this morning, so that's good news. We do have a chance for some flurries this afternoon as well, and it is going to be much cooler today than what we've seen the last couple of days. Only 36 for a high. I mean, still not horrible for this time of year, though, right? I mean, we could be talking temperatures in the teens below zero, because it, after all, it is February in Wisconsin. So 36, we'll take it. It's a little shy of the 60 that we saw yesterday, though, and that's a little bit of a bummer. But 13 tonight, and then tomorrow, sunny, 39 for a high. And then as we look ahead to Sunday, we're going to start warming things back up. Lots of sunshine, 50 for a high on Sunday, and then 60 by Monday. Right now, it is 30.
Baraboo State Bank supports Baraboo FFA students as they learn about the future of farming during National FFA Week. You can count on the professionals at Baraboo State Bank, rooted in downtown Baraboo since 1857. Baraboo State Bank, banking better together.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life. And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Your experience is our top priority at Backroad Baraboo Motors, where you'll find a top-notch crew that gets the job done right, thorough advisors that explain it all, a free car wash with every visit, and a waiting room where you won't mind the wait. From routine service to major repairs, our certified team is here for you. Backroad Baraboo Motors, proudly servicing all makes and models. just off Highway 136 in Baraboo, and online at baraboomotors.com.
Want to test drive U.S. Cellular's award-winning network? It's free for 30 days. Want to do it even faster? Get a race car driver to be your personal chauffeur.
Hey, my calls and data work great out here.
Test drive U.S. Cellular today. U.S. Cellular, built for us. Terms apply. Awards based on open signal independent data. Visit uscellular.com for details.
Race into your nearest local U.S. Cellular store, and we'll set you up in under 5 minutes for your no-cost 30-day trial. See us in Baraboo, the Dells, and Reedsburg.
It's 8:25 right now. We hope that you are having a great Friday morning. Thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate it. Bruce Springsteen now. This is Glory Days on 99.7 Max FM.
Back inside, sat down, had a few.
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM, 8:29 right now. And Finn, it's Friday. We aren't going to achieve any world peace today. And heck, for a lot of us, we might not even achieve lunch or breakfast, right? So we're going to forget about anything important and pose this random question. How do you write an uppercase E? This is an actual question from an actual poll. It asked more than 1,600 people, and the most common answer was you make a vertical line and then the three horizontal lines. 42% of people write an uppercase E like that. That's actually how I do it as well. I make the back and then the three legs. That's what my teacher taught me when I was in grade school. Back and three legs, which makes perfect sense in my world.
It would be weird doing it other than that, wouldn't it?
It feels like it. It really does. But 27% of people said they make like a square rounded C thing and then they add the middle line. So you make like a half box and then you put the middle line through is essentially what I'm seeing. Right. Then you have 25% of people who make an uppercase L and then they add the two horizontal lines, which seems like a really weird way to do it. 7% of people make an upside down L and then they add the two other lines. And 13 people, or less than 1% of this particular polling population, claim that they make three horizontal lines first and then they go back and add the vertical line, which seems kind of weird, but you know, you do you. We're not going to judge at all, as long as you get the right letter in there. Now, that one wasn't an option, actually, but you know, making like a backward three, top to bottom, all in one stroke. Someone actually said that that's, quote, the most atrocious to read, yet easiest to write. But it's also the closest to how you'd make a cursive E, so I guess that also makes sense. Now, I don't use cursive for any reason whatsoever, other than to sign my name. I hate writing in cursive. And it's funny because, do they even teach cursive in classrooms
anymore?
That's
a good question. Do you remember in our days?
I remember learning
like
it, yes.
Cursive, yeah.
Yes, and I remember when I started homeschooling my kids. We actually went through Academy the first few years while I was trying to get my feet wet and trying to figure it out. And so we had an actual elementary school teacher who would grade all the work, give us some feedback, you know, kind of make sure that Max was transitioning well. And I remember saying to her, well, we need to learn cursive. And she goes, for what? And I said, seriously? And she goes, yeah. She goes, they're never going to use cursive. She goes, as long as they can sign their name, she said, that's essentially the only thing they need cursive for. She goes, typing and digital skills are way more important in this day and age. And I was like, okay. So my kids can sign their name in cursive, but that's about it. They don't
write
it.
That's the only thing they use it for, is just signing their name.
And in fact, Dexter, if you hand him something that's in cursive, he has a really hard time reading it. Max as well, because it's just not something that they see. I mean, they live in a world that's very digital, right? And my writing, I have really good printing, and so it looks like a font is essentially what it looks like all the time. And so that's what they're used to seeing all the time. So when they have to read something in cursive, it takes them a minute. It takes them a second to get their brain wrapped around it to actually see what it's saying. But yeah, they don't. Other than signing their name, they don't write in cursive whatsoever. I don't even know if they'd know how, to be quite honest. But they were typing at like 60 words per minute by the time they were five. So that's something, I guess.
But it would seem kind of weird to just print your name on all those documents and legal documents stuff, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Max does. He prints mostly. He can sign in cursive. It just takes him less time to actually just print it out because that's what he does. And nobody's ever said no. I mean, the kid's 18. It's how he signed his driver's license. It's how he signed his passport, everything. And nobody's never not accepted it because that's his signature. That's what he does for his signature. So it's interesting. Now, he can write it in cursive. It's not as natural to him is just printing it out, so he just prints it for most things. So I don't know, right or wrong, that we were told to worry about cursive. So I didn't, and we have amazing keyboarding skills. In fact, my kids' like typing skills put mine to shame. They really, really, truly do. They are accurate, they are fast, they are uber fast at what they do, and it's kind of crazy when you listen to them on a keyboard, because I'm always like, now are you backspacing? And so I'll watch them, and no, I mean, they are just that accurate because they've been typing for so long. But I followed the instructional manuals and the keys and everything I was supposed to do for that age group. And our online academy that was certified, it was a certified school. They were like, nope, we are not worrying about the cursive. So Okay, all right. That's what we'll do.
Now
what about Phoenix? Because I know he's just a couple years younger than Dexter. Does he write cursive? Did he learn cursive, or is he just
he knows it? I don't think he ever hardly uses it. But I don't know if anyone is as easily as amused as I am, because that's part of the fun, is trying to figure out your signature, right?
Right.
I mean,
Mine's evolved over the years. Did you work on it at all?
Because I used to be really, really disappointed with my signature. So I figured, okay, I've really got to work on this. So I worked on it. And now when you look at my signature, it looks like I clearly don't care. It's just a whole bunch of scribbling.
That's the way mine looks as well. And over the years, it's evolved. You know, like when I was younger and, you know, like we bought our first house and our car, it was like a perfect signature, right? And now it's just like one capital letter that you can pretty much make out. And then it's just a bunch of bumps with a, with some stuff in the middle. Like that's essentially
most of
what it
us
is.
Do that, you know?
But I mean, it's the same every time. So, that's...
But can you read it? Is it legible?
No, I mean, is it something... You would have no idea what it says if you didn't know my actual name. You would have no idea what it says if you did not know who I was, because you could not read that thing at all. It's actually kind of insane.
Well, I'm going by the masters, though, because I have a whole bunch of autograph stuff from various musicians.
Sure.
Okay. And most of them don't look like they care either.
Right. You know, and it's so funny because doctors used to be like the one that everybody made fun of, because obviously they write their signature 800 times.
Yeah.
Right? Well, now we all sign our stuff like that. So we can't just make fun of them anymore, because, and how often do we, and how often do we actually get a paper prescription to walk out of the office with? It's just sent straight to your pharmacy, and magically you show up and they're like, here's your prescription. It's kind of weird how it all works. But oh my goodness. You know, it was funny though, the other day I had to go to the doctor, was it last week, the week before, I don't even remember, over in Madison to my specialist, and they had had like an epic computer failure all day long. Went out early in the morning, I think I told you this, and it didn't come back up until about 20 minutes before I walked in. So everything had to be done manually that day. And it was so funny because computers are awesome until they aren't, and it just tells you how reliant we are, because it was chaos in that office. Now, they were doing an amazing job working through it, but it was still chaos because everything had to be charted the old school way. And then once the system came back up, it had to be put back into the system. And then the system goes ahead and automatically, and we have a great friend who works for this particular medical system. He is the head guy for the Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. So we kind of know a little bit about how this particular system works. And most hospitals in the area use it now because it's based out of Madison, right? So what it does is it pulls up all of the charts for the doctor at the start of the day. So they can just open each one in order of the patients and then close them. And they get like these little tabs and all of this kind of stuff. It's actually pretty efficient for them, right? Well, when she got to me, I was the first one where the computer system had worked. So all of her charts for the day were like popping up on the screen and she couldn't get to mine. And so for 10 minutes, we just sat there and we chit-chatted because she's like, nope, I already saw that person. And nobody saw that person, just tried to get to your chart. And of course, my appointment was like at 3 p.m. So I'm one of her last ones for the day. So I'm way towards the back. But I was sitting there watching her and I'm like, wow, technology's pretty awesome until it's not. And then it's just a big pain in the behind is what it is. Yeah. But it was funny because I mentioned not walking out with like a paper prescription, right? Ever. I actually walked out with one that day because that was the one part of the system that was still not up and running, is them able to get the prescriptions sent to the pharmacies automatically. So I walked out with a paper prescription and she's like, now don't lose that, because she said, I know this is really old school. And I was like, okay.
I was
like,
going to say, you're rolling old school with your prescriptions.
Right?
That's cool.
You like don't even know what to do with it. You're like, oh, I have to like take this to the pharmacy now and I have to give this to somebody. It was a very, very odd sensation to have it in my hand and have to physically take it in and then be told, oh, this is on back order. Can you come back in about a week? I was like, yep, that would be my luck.
Some of that I kind of miss, though. You know, I mean, it's like this is kind of a side topic, but it's kind of like concert tickets. Okay. Yeah. Everybody, I mean, I still like to get them physical. I mean, it might cost me a little extra to get it in the mail and get, you know, but nobody does that anymore.
No, they really, really don't. It's like a bit of a souvenir, especially if it's your favorite band or, you know, with the way ticket prices are, you've had to save for 3 years to just go see them because that's how expensive they are.
Yeah.
And then you got like the souvenir and people used to collect those. I have a friend.
I still do. I've got a book full of my concert tickets.
Isn't that cool? I have a friend who took all of her concert tickets. And she basically laid them out on a board, and she loves music, so she's gone to a lot of stuff, and she laid them out on like this photo board, and it's huge. It's like a little bigger than poster size, and then she took like a preservation glue. I don't want to say like a rubber cement, but that's essentially what it looked like, but it preserves things a little bit better. And she laid them all out in the coolest mosaic, and then took it to a framer and had everything framed and put under glass. Awesome. And it's this huge thing hanging over a desk in her office. And she, because now she's got kids, right? And they go to concerts, but not like she did in her younger days or when they were just dating or when she was single. And so she's like, it's just my reminder that at one time I was cool and I actually had my own life. Which is, you know, I get that, but it's just this really cool piece of art that she made. And it's, you know, she made sure that the board was specifically fit so she didn't have to cut anything. And so she had a lot of help with it. And, you know, and she worked with this amazing framer who also happens to be one of her friends. So she was able to get this really cool piece of art. When you walk in, it's just cool because they're all laying in different directions, you know, and it's just, it's awesome. It's one of my favorite things in her house. And it's one of the coolest things I've ever seen as far as people making their own art for their walls, unless they're a true artist. Yeah. So,
and I'm sure every time she looks at it, she gets transported back to those concerts, you know, I mean, memories. Yeah.
And there was no rhyme or reason to it. Like, she didn't group all of one band together. Together or whatever. Yeah. She just laid them all out, you know, nothing by date or nothing by year or anything like that. But, you know, she looks back and she can remember all of it. So it's very, very cool. And so that's why I think concert tickets are pretty amazing, because those are the types of things that you remember and you can do with them, right? Or like you said, put them in some sort of book where you preserve them a little bit. And that's all very cool. No, now they just scan our phones, and those are really hard to put into some sort of frame, let me tell you.
and after seeing so many, and I know you and Corey and the boys have seen your share of concerts. Mm-hmm. I mean, after seeing so many concerts, you eventually start to forget whether or not you've seen somebody or not.
It's a little reminder that, I did actually see that group. Okay, that's cool. You know, and then you remember the date. Maybe you can go back and find some info on the concert online, because all of that stuff lives in infamy on the Google. So
Setlist FM, baby.
Right?
That's where you go if you can't remember what songs they performed. Yep.
But first you have to remember if you were actually there, Finn. Right. And for some of us getting older, that's really, really hard. Really, really hard. So hard. Coming up, we're going to take a detailed look at your forecast. Things are going to be exceptionally cooler today than we have seen the last few days. I mean, we're talking about a 20-degree swing in the opposite direction today. So 36 is all for a high. By the end of the weekend, though, we're going to rebound back to about 50, and then by Monday, even warmer than that. Sean Cable's going to tell us more in just a moment. Plus, we'll have a look at sports with Mike Ganger next here on Max FM.
I joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance. Now I'm a superintendent running high-profile projects in Madison that change the city's skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today. Call 608-240-0314 and press 0 to apply. That's 608-240-0314 and press 0.
Reedsburg Area Medical Center welcomes nurse midwife Beth Adsit.
I was in nursing school. I got to witness a birth with a mom that was so strong, and then a midwife right there supporting her through her whole labor and birth. And that right there was such a big key moment in why I wanted to be a midwife and help women through this beautiful transition of life.
Learn more about nurse midwife Beth Adsit at ramchealth.com.
Time for sports on Max FM. It's brought to you by Napa Auto Parts.
Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff from Napa in Baraboo and Portage. This is Napa John. Napa tools and parts are second to none. We've got hard-to-find parts for everyday use, from the smallest wrench to the biggest hoist. Napa has over 300,000 parts in stock every day. No matter the job, if you're a hardcore mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer, we've got the parts you need. Watch for our quarterly sales flyers and for your peace of mind by your tools and parts from Napa in Baraboo and Portage.
Get the good stuff!
With Max FM Sports, I'm Mike Ganger. State wrestling got underway yesterday, taking a look at some of the results for the area athletes. Trayton Curtin from Reedsburg at 113 won his first match by decision 5-1, then fell in his second. He'll be competing again today around 10 a.m. His teammate Cade Parrish had his season come to an end with a loss in his first matchup. Yeah, he lost two losses as well, so his season is over. Baraboo's Peyton Oberg won in his first matchup. He then fell in his second. He'll be competing again today, also around 10 a.m. Colton Harris from Reedsburg lost in his first matchup, but the guy who beat him went on to win, so Harris will be also in the wrestle back today at 10 a.m. Baraboo's Talon Pickler had his season come to an end, lost in his first matchup, and then that guy went on to lose as well. Braylon Owen of Baraboo got a pin in his first matchup. He would then fall in his second. He also will have a matchup today in that 10 a.m. group. And Reedsburg's Jesus Gonzalez got a pair of victories, and with that, he'll be moving on to compete tonight at 7 p.m., and with the win there, we'll have an opportunity to punch his ticket to the state championship match. All the details and results from wrestling from yesterday you can find at WIAWI.org. It'll take you to Track Wrestling. Congratulations to all the athletes still competing and those who had their fantastic state-run seasons come to an end. Girls basketball tournament continues tonight. Division 2, Sectional 3, it's number 4 Reedsburg hosting number 5 Sauk Prairie. Winner of that matchup will meet the winner between West Salem and La Crosse Logan. La Crosse Central and DeForest will play tonight. 6 seed Central heads to Defoe, and whoever comes out victorious there will meet the winner between Onalaska and Sparta, also playing this evening. Other side of that bracket, it's McFarland and Mount Horeb, 1-9. Milton will be heading to number 3 Elkhorn, and number 7 Stoughton is at Monona Grove this evening. That's all for Division 2 in Sectional 3. Division 3, Sectional 1, you've got Wisconsin Dells tonight, the 4 seed, hosting Arcadia, the 5. Adams Friendship and Elk Mound meeting on the other side of that matchup. That's the 9 seed heading to number 1 Elk Mound. And winner of that one will await the winner between number 2 Aquinas and number 7 Viroqua. Also in D3 tonight, Columbus, the 6th seed, is going to be at Lake County Lutheran. Edgewood will host Bigfoot, Prairie du Chien and Dodgeville on the other side of that bracket. And in D4 tonight, Poinette, the 4th seed, is going to be hosting St. Mary Springs. Number 6, Partyville, after their win against Montello, is going to be heading to Random Lake this evening. All the details and bracket can be found for the girls' basketball tournament also at WIAWI.org. Best of luck to the girls competing this evening. Bucks back on the court tonight. It's going to be a late one as the team is in Minnesota to face the Timberwolves, but it won't tip off until 9 o'clock. It's going to be an ESPN game this evening. Badger men have the weekend off. They'll return to the hardwood on Tuesday when they head to Indiana. With Max FM Sports, I'm Mike Ganger.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
Mostly cloudy and quite a bit cooler today with a few off and on flurries or even a few snow showers possible. Our high 36 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 13. Tomorrow sunny 39. Then we bounce right back Sunday. Sunshine 50. We'll get to 60 by Monday. If you need help with back taxes, call Tax Solutions now. They can help. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 32.
99.7
Max FM. 8:47 right now. Thank you so much for spending your Friday morning with us. We always appreciate it. You know, with the cooler temperatures, hopefully you're staying warm today. I know we haven't had to say that for a couple of days. Hall & Oates now. This is Maneater on 99.7 Max FM.
She'll only come out at night. Believe-
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more, 99.7 Max FM. It's 8:51 right now, and Finn, we have some celebrating to do, not just because it's Friday, but because we need even more reason to celebrate, especially going into the weekend. We've got to take a look at our calendar days here. So today is Curling is Cool Day, and of course, we're talking about the sport on ice where you have the little brooms and you push the little disc mm-hmm. into the bullseye. I don't know all the rules. I don't know what all the terms are. I find it fascinating, mostly because I don't know anything about it, I think.
You've never been a curling?
I've never been to a curling tournament. I know Max is going to be going to the one in Wauwatosa, the international one, in a couple weeks to do a story for his class and have some sort of special air on PBS Milwaukee. So he'll by the end of it, maybe he can school me a little bit in all the curling rules. I probably should have just asked. He probably already knows them, but now he gets to immerse himself in it.
Yes.
Dogs around the world will rejoice today because it's International Dog Biscuit Appreciation Day. Boy, if your dog's food motivated, though, just some little treat, you can get them to do whatever you want, can't you?
Yep.
I have a very food motivated one, so I can get her to do whatever I want. Doesn't matter if it's an apple, sweet potato, she loves a good banana, and she will drool and get spit bubbles in her jowls for the thought of a blueberry. Craziest thing.
That's when the hearing isn't selected,
right?
Correct?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's when they actually do as they are told. International Stand Up to Bullying Day is also today. That is a big one because in this world, we are starting to see more and more of it, not just kids in school, but adults and online, and it is a crazy world that we live in.
Yep.
National Skip the Straw Day is also today. I mean, obviously, those little plastic straws, those are kind of a detriment to our environmental concerns. They sit in those landfills for a really long time. So I usually don't get a straw, or I have like a permanent one in my water jug because I don't usually get drinks at restaurants unless it's, you know, like a cup of water.
Yeah.
Even the paper ones, though, they get soggy really fast. So I get why people want to not use a straw or would prefer the plastic ones. But let's take care of our environment. She needs all the help she can get right now.
Yeah.
It is also Play Tennis Day. Now, to me, this seems like a better one maybe next week when it's 60 or maybe even yesterday.
Sure.
little chilly today, but at least there's no snow on the court. So you could probably get in a game if that's what you're inclined to do. Now, today is also, because we always like to talk about the good food ones, it's National Banana Bread Day. I am a huge banana bread fan. I love banana bread to the point where I've even had to find healthy versions of the recipe because I missed it so darn much. And even though banana bread is really delicious, I bet there's not going to be a lot of people out there celebrating it today. But there was a time, if you remember, when we were all celebrating banana bread, and it really became like a global phenomenon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 4 years ago, when the pandemic was first setting in, Everybody was under lockdown, and there was nothing we could really do except wait in long lines so that we could get, you know, the latest toilet shipment paper. Of toilet paper and really watch Tiger King, right? Yeah. obviously, you may have blocked some of that from your memory because it was an awful time frame, but that was a time of peak banana bread. In the spring of 2020, Google searches for banana bread were up 54% worldwide, and everybody was making it. In fact, at one point in time, there were all sorts of tweets about it as well. One person said, why is everyone making banana bread, like specifically banana bread? I get baking is fun to cure boredom, but why banana bread? It's all I've seen people make. Somebody else said, anyone else in their kitchen sipping red wine and aggressively baking banana bread at 9:40 p.m.? Somebody else asked, is COVID-19 sponsored by banana bread? Instagram was also flooded with people sharing the best banana bread recipes. Chrissy Teigen was using it for bartering for lettuce mm-hmm. in a parking lot with banana bread. Mm. It kind of says something about the power of banana bread, really, honestly. So now that we're 4 years in removed and everybody's, you know, kind of done making their banana bread, have we mastered it yet? Do we have a banana bread that can actually cure cancer at this point? Well, the answer to that is no, unfortunately. We moved on eventually during the pandemic to things like sourdough, kombucha, puzzles, board games, virtual Zoom parties, reorganizing our closets, working out in the living room, drinking a whole lot before we actually were able to go outside again. And the wonder of banana bread just was simply gone. But here's the thing. We should not let it be forgotten, and we should definitely celebrate National Banana Bread Day today. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Make yourself a delicious loaf for the weekend, right? And if it's anything like our house, it'll be gone in like two sittings, honestly.
It's not around very long, is it?
No, it's not. Like, I've even tried to figure out how to like double the banana bread fun, and it just it doesn't last. Then I get a bigger loaf and everybody cuts bigger slices. It's kind of insane. As we look ahead to the rest of the weekend, International Sword Swallowers Day is tomorrow, which means it's a typical day in Baraboo, if that's what we're celebrating with the circus industry. Exactly. It's also International Tongue Twister Contest Day tomorrow. Apparently, you can win some big things for being able to have the best tongue twisters. Okay. It's also National Trading Card Day. Whatever your choice is, doesn't matter. I just remember the Garbage Pail Kids from way back in the day. Those were fun. Mm-hmm. Those were super fun. I loved those.
Do you remember Wacky Packages?
Vaguely. Probably I remember them. I remember seeing them. They were kind of, I think, on the outs as I was getting older, but Garbage Pail Kids, that was a big one. And then eventually eventually Pokemon became a big thing. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is also Twin Peaks Day, which I know you probably understand this. Diane, it's 11:30 a.m. February 24th, entering the town of Twin Peaks. That's right. Yes. FBI Special Agent Dale Cooper, played by Kyle MacLachlan, dictated that into his tape recorder as he made his entrance into the town of Twin Peaks and into the television series, of course, of the same name. He was going to the town, as most fans of the show know, to investigate the murder of Laura Palmer, the homecoming queen who mysteriously died earlier the same day. The year is 1989. The date is February 24th, and that was the day that later became known as Twin Peaks Day. So would suggest sitting down with your banana bread, the entire loaf of it, and trying to binge Twin Peaks, the TV show tomorrow to celebrate. It's also World Bartender Day tomorrow. So now we're talking. Now we're talking about alcoholic beverages. We're talking about Twin Peaks and we're talking about banana bread. And really, does it really get much better? Yeah. It's also National Tortilla Chip Day tomorrow. So that
could
also be
some good ones.
They're really good ones, right? It's also Open That Bottle Night tomorrow night. Speaking of the bartenders, if you don't want to go out, you can play your own bartender, but your bartenders are going to take better care of you. Tip them well because they're good at what they do, right? And then, of course, as we look ahead to Sunday, there are a couple good ones on here as well. It's all Let's All Eat Right Day on Sunday. So obviously we kind of throw away the junk. We go with the better stuff in life for us, which is easier said than done sometimes, especially when it's National Tortilla Chip Day, Open the Bottle Night, all of that the day before. You got to kind of cleanse the system after all of that. Now, saying that, it's also National Clam Chowder Day on Sunday, which I'll be skipping. Thank you. That's right. But it's also National Chocolate Covered Peanuts Day on Sunday as well. Okay. Give me a dark chocolate covered almond and I am in. I will be so in on that one. But specifically says peanuts. I don't do peanuts. I do almonds. So we'll make it my own day. But I think that sounds delicious. I don't think you should be able to put that though on Let's All Eat Right Day. I think that's kind of unfair. That's a cruel. Little unfair. It is. Mm. It is. No matter how you're celebrating though, make sure you have a great weekend. And I'm telling you, with everything that's on the calendar for tomorrow, you're living it up. Those are good ones. Yeah. Those are definitely good ones. Taking a look at this forecast right now, mostly cloudy and cooler today. We could actually see some flurries by this afternoon. It started out really bright and sunny here on Goose Poop Pond. Sean Cable was right. The clouds have started to roll in. 36 is all for a high today. Down to 13 tonight, then lots of sun.